You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey guys, it's Dave DeFore. Join me and my buddies Seth Partnow and Mo Dakhil every Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for Nerder, She Wrote, a podcast that attempts to look at the cutting edge of the NBA and the sport of basketball. Whether it's sports science, a deep dive on X's and O's, tales from the video room, or the next big thing in analytics, you can find it all every single Friday on Nerder, She Wrote right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
Join us this Saturday for an all-new episode of The Athletic NBA Show, Saturday Slam and Jam, hosted by me, Andrew Schlecht. I'll be joined by my co-hosts Alex Spears and many of the Athletic beat writers that you know and love. We will recap the week of the NBA, play some NBA trivia, and just overall talk about the league that we love most. So while you're flipping your flapjacks, tending to your yard, or just sipping your coffee on Saturday morning, listen to Saturday Slam and Jam on the Athletic NBA Show.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention coming up on the show. The West is a mess, an enormous mistake, tank or no tank, MVP odds, and we're going to figure out who are the kings of the Eastern Conference. I'm Zach Harper. Jade Hoy is producing. In this corner, the Bay Area legend and author of two books about the Warriors dynasty and back from a much needed vacation, Marcus T. Nasty Thompson. Marcus, what is your favorite thing about vacation?
I didn't get to take one. I went to Disney World.
Oh no.
There's nothing vacation-y about
this.
That.
Podcast no. is brought to us by Disney World. No. It's
it was 90,000 steps of torture with like with 5 minutes of pleasure mixed in on a ride. Wow. It was a very expensive torture chamber that my wife loved, so I'm happy to go through it.
There you go. That's what's important. And in this corner, the Bay Area suburban legend and the author of the book The Victory Machine, now available in paperback, also just back from a vacation. When do I get a vacation? Ethan Sherwood Strauss. Ethan,
your life is a vacation.
What was the highlight? That's true. What was the highlight of your vacation?
I think it was trying oysters and, as the one Miles Brown said, looking like a fucking 9-year-old when you did it. It was hard. I was very squeamish about it, but I got it down the hatch. That was
your first oyster?
Nah, it was probably around my second, but I think I'll just always be wary. And it was out in beautiful Bodega Bay where The Birds was filmed. I would highly recommend Bodega Bay in the springtime. It was great to get out there.
All right.
What do you do in Bodega Bay? You look for the birds to attack?
You look for the birds to attack, and that's why you just swaddle yourself with a raw crustacean, hoping that they'll descend on you. It's like leaving bait. Yeah. That's what you do.
Wow, what a nice little nugget of information there. Ooh. Speaking of nuggets, Jade, start the clock. Take one. Can an NBA team win the championship without its second best player? On Monday night, the Nuggets lost Jamal Murray to a season-ending ACL tear of his left knee. Murray suffered the non-contact injury during the Nuggets' 116-107 loss to the Golden State Warriors. A brutal, brutal injury. Even though the Nuggets have been on a roll, the race in the West is now more wide open than ever. So what's next? Marcus, how do you think this injury affects the Western Conference as we head down the stretch and into the playoffs?
I mean, I don't think this second best player was going to get them a title, but any shot they had was Jamal Murray playing lights out, right? And he needed to be bubble Jamal for the entire playoffs, or especially in the right series, like Western Conference Finals, should they make it. They needed him to be lights out. I think what it does now is it makes the road to the championship probably less daunting. They're an easier out, right? They're a more attackable team. They're definitely not as potent, and somebody will fill in. But Jamal Murray was the tricky one. That Murray, Jokic pick and roll, that's the deadly beast, right? That's the one, if the game is close, you're having a nightmare with. So I don't care who you put in place of Jamal Murray, you're not nearly as scared. So you start thinking about if you're the Lakers and you end up a 7 seed, which, you know, they've rallied and don't look that way. But if you had to go through a Denver and then a Clippers, that Denver doesn't look as daunting, right? They were a daunting out. They were going to be tough. So now the road might look a little bit easier. I don't think they'll be done. I don't think they'll be an easy out. But, man, not having to deal with that Murray-Jokic pick and roll, that's a game changer.
Yeah, I think the pick and roll is good to reference. I guess, first of all, I want to say I wore the beanie because you guys were wearing the beanie. I look like a cat burglar. I look ridiculous. I look
this
like...
This is an audio medium.
No, like, I know.
Maybe
I know.
8 seconds of this video will get out as social promotion, and you've chosen to address something that didn't need to be addressed.
Yeah, but I'm painting the picture. It's an audio picture
you
for the listener.
You look like Eugene Levy trying to be one of the cool kids, like you're about to start rapping.
I'm dressed
But you're not painting...
Wait, I got a deep cut. If Zach can get this, I'll be very brisk. I look like Peter Green from Training Day is the style I'm going for.
Okay. But here's the thing. Wow. You're painting a picture. You say, well, I'm painting the picture, except you didn't start out by painting the picture. You're just like, hold on. I'm also wearing a beanie. That's not painting a picture.
Yeah, you're right.
There's no picture there.
Wasn't a great picture painted. I just looked. I can see myself. That's the problem with Zoom is you can look and you can see yourself. And I realized as I was talking that I look ridiculous. I lost all moral authority in my own mind when speaking on the Nuggets. And that is why I will piggyback off Marcus's point as opposed to making a novel one of my own. That pick and roll. It really feels almost like a safety valve for them, doesn't it? Where sometimes late in the shot clock, they get into it. And it's almost less about the quality of Murray. And yeah, if he goes crazy, it would have helped them. But it's almost like just part of their identity is gone. And I don't want to write off anybody in this completely crazy season, especially with the resources that the Nuggets have added to put them over the top. But I do think realistically, it takes them from on that upper tier of contention to, yeah, this would be a long shot. I think they're in the long shot contender status. Not totally written out of it, but huge setback.
By the way, did Peter Green have a hoop earring, though?
Oh, yeah, I need to add it. Well, that's what's under this headphone.
You really want to be about
That's what's under here right
a
now.
A hoop earring?
You ain't about that life.
He didn't know when they were filming Training Day. He didn't know the 1990s were over. He wasn't informed about that.
I believe only Michael Jordan is still about that hoop earring life, so I don't know that that's a fair criticism of Ethan here. let me throw out a possibility here. What if the Nuggets are even deadlier now in the playoffs because they're forced to go to Jokic every single time and he's forced to be more of a scorer like we've seen parts of this season?
I like it. The indefatigable Jokic, the guy who should tire out but never seems to in these playoff games. He can play 8 overtimes and it's almost like the flab is a reserve that others don't have.
Just not playing any defense also helps.
Oh yeah, that definitely does help. That definitely aids the process.
I would even go a little bit further and say, what if this almost like liberates Michael Porter Jr. to just go off. He's already been playing well. Like, all right, man, there are no holds barred.
Yeah.
Just go get your money. Go cook. And, you know, man, what if it's now he and Jokic in that 2-man game? Like, there's some salvageability there for sure. If Michael Porter Jr. could turn into a monster. We don't know if it's this soon, though, right? If it happens now, if you can do it in the playoffs. So, yeah, you might be onto something there. And, you know, we've seen this before with a team you think is done. And they kind of rally and they become tougher. Somebody comes out of nowhere. I could see them being a tough out. I don't think they'll be an easy out, but I don't think the Lakers, worst case scenario for them
might be Porter Jr. averaging 32 in a series they narrowly lose, and then they will not be able to tell him anything next season. at all. So, yeah, bring on the liberated Michael Porter Jr. I cannot wait to see what the results of it are. And that makes that situation potentially more intriguing.
They'll maybe work their way up even still to a two seed and have to play someone who wins the play-in tournament. Speaking of, take two, an enormous mistake. First, it was Luka Doncic criticizing the NBA's play-in tournament. Now, Mark Cuban, in a series of messages sent to ESPN, the Mavs owner said this, quote, "I get why the NBA is doing it, but if we are going to be creative because of COVID, we should go straight up 1 through 20 and let the bottom four play in. This is the year particularly to do it since the 10 games cut were in conference. The worst part of this approach is that it doubles the stress of the compressed schedule. Rather than playing for a playoff spot and being able to rest players as the standings become clearer, teams have to approach every game as a playoff game to either get into or stay in the top six, since the consequences, as Luka said, are enormous." Ethan, do you agree with Mr. Cuban?
Yes, but not for the reasons he's talking about. Maybe I feel like he's coming at it from the perspective of, I don't like this because it's affecting me negatively right now. I wasn't saying anything like this before the season started, but now that it is specifically negatively impacting me, I dislike it, and I will give an explanation that will resonate with no fan. No fan will care about my arcane situation that I'm discussing. I think their proper response will be, well, tough, maybe rest your players while trying to compete for this spot. We don't care. The better argument that he could make, the one I would be receptive to, just might be, it's a little goofy. I don't know if it really did the trick. I don't know if it really makes the playoffs feel more special when we have so many teams in it. It's a little bit too much to follow. The counter argument, maybe Marcus is with this one. I'm not sure any reform has done more to curb tanking than the play-in tournament. So that's also something to consider. So a lot of push-pull factors. I'm anti-play-in. I'm anti it. I see the wisdom of it. I see the arguments for it. But I feel like a simpler, hey, this is too much, too many playoff teams, is probably better for Cuban to go with than, ow, my team hurts.
Well, let me tell you this. It is the official ruling of the NBA that a play-in tournament participant does not mean they are a playoff team. You have to get into that top eight by the end of the play-in tournament to be considered a playoff team. So it's still technically the same number of playoff teams.
I should add one more thing that I think might be an interesting subplot here. I'm not aware of the NBA getting any extra money for doing these play-in games, which is unusual. You're effectively creating this brand new product. They're saying it isn't technically a playoff game, but it is. You know, these are elimination games to get in the playoffs. It doesn't appear as though they are getting extra money. So I wonder if this was conditional with the broadcasters to keep everything going or to alleviate some issue, that they would throw them this bone in perpetuity, or maybe down the road renegotiate something else. So I think that's another complication. We haven't gotten a big explanation about the actual dynamics behind this whole play-in thing.
So, Marcus, do you ride with Mark Cuban on this? Or my contention is that the play-in tournament is a good idea just because it keeps teams from tanking more because they think they've got a shot at this thing.
Dude, his argument is, I don't like this. We have to compete. That's the argument. Like, what? We can't rest our players. Every game matters. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what you want from the regular season?
Would you be resting if you were the 7 or 8 seed anyway?
And this is why I'm not rocking with him or Luka. Y'all wasn't saying this when everybody thought you was going to be a 2 seed. All right. Of a sudden now you firmly entrenched into the play-in game. This is a bad idea. But when you were mm-hmm. the hot up-and-coming team that was going to challenge, now all of a sudden, mm-hmm. I don't like this play-in tournament. Man, get out of here with that. I ain't buying that at all. But absolutely, I'm with the play-in tournament. For one, it's probably time to rethink some of this stuff anyway, right? And it's not like, okay, if there was a year to experiment, this is the year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it's a thing that pops and you do something with it. Maybe you realize, nah, the format we had, and you go back to it. I'm fine with experimentation. I'm cool with it, right? We don't know. There'll be two great playing games, and then we'll all be talking about, this is incredible. Like, let's stick with it. I just have a problem with this idea that oh man, I don't like this. We now have to play hard in the regular season. Like that, to me, that's the worst retort.
Yeah.
And it does solve tank it. You can't stop. You can't just give up right now. Otherwise, you do drop. So I kind of like that. Is it the best solution? Who knows? But for right now, the last thing the NBA needed was half the league not caring in March. Right? That's what they didn't need.
Right.
They didn't need a regular season to be awful. So now you got a bunch of teams playing for stuff. You got games mattering. Injuries matter a lot. Right? Like, some of the stuff matters. The Lakers normally would be able to chill. We're good. We're fine. Now they kind of got to compete to stay out of the play. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think it's actually working to their advantage. So what if you don't get to rest your players? You know, do a better job of coaching them.
But what about, all right, so, but what about this, Marcus? Because it's a compressed schedule, to Mark Cuban's point, because it's a compressed schedule, even though you are experimenting in different ways, and I do think the experimentation, this is the right season to do it, the compressed schedule really does kind of screw the teams competing to either avoid it or even just be in it, period, right? Like, there is some health concerns there.
I mean, there was health concerns when you played the season. Where was this? Where was this in the meetings? Like, what did you think? What did they think was going to happen? I don't understand what the outcome was expected at the beginning. They literally only planned the first half of the season. Like, yo, we'll come back to the rest of the schedule.
I will say,
this is what they signed up for.
Again, to bring in the TV stuff, I will say there is this weird subplot. It's strange the way people talk about it on Twitter, where, you know, I can't believe they played this many games. I can't believe they came back so soon. You know, it's ridiculous and irresponsible. Yeah, there's only, I don't know, $14 billion coming to the NBA that is potentially in jeopardy if they don't do what the broadcasters want. Now, I don't expect that the broadcasters would say, quash the whole deal, screw you, NBA. And I would expect that the NBA could sign another deal with another broadcaster if worse came to worse. But you don't want to be in this situation economically, in any kind of situation that could jeopardize your TV deal. Where a CEO who runs things at, I don't know, Turner goes, you know what, not worth it to us. This is a good point at which we can say, never mind, we're making the closer two and the closer three, and that's our new strategy. Ooh. Yeah, you got a little intrigued, didn't you?
Sedgwick season, yeah.
Yeah, it could be really good, you know? It's I like it. Maybe do a little spinoff. I think she's a little bit older now. Maybe you could do kind of a Golden Girls type thing. Have a real, you know, kind of saucy, sassy retirement community. They all fight crime together.
Ellen Barkin in Animal Kingdom is in her 60s, and she is a badass. Like, Sedgwick can do it.
Okay. I think we're really cooking right here. But see, you don't want those conversations to happen. Not if you're Adam Silver. You can't let that conversation happen.
Why is Luka's minutes up?
Because the Mavs are fighting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, nobody's making you put his minutes up. Like, look at Steve Kerr. He's rested Steph. Like, yo, we get the 10, right?
Yeah. That's so funny you mentioned that. By the way, I liked Ethan better with the beanie on. I think he's going against us, which I find to be a lack of camaraderie and chemistry. But since you mentioned the Warriors, take three, to tank or not to tank. That is the question. Fellas, while you were away on your beautiful vacations that I didn't get to participate in, I'm not sure if you noticed, but James Wiseman was injured and will be out indefinitely with a torn meniscus. As a result, questions immediately began to swirl on whether the Warriors should pack it in and tank the rest of the season. On one hand, they've got a real chance at two top 10 picks in the upcoming draft, since the Minnesota Timberwolves pick is top three protected, and there is a 40% chance that Minnesota gets to keep it. And on the other, a legitimate shot at getting into the playoffs. But really, how far can they get? Draymond Green put it pretty succinctly when he said, fighting for a play-in spot does not motivate me. So Marcus, to tank or not to tank?
No. You can't tank.
Can't do it.
You got to fight. You got to stay alive. You got to get that 7-8 seed where you win one game and you're in. Like, here's the reason, too. Like, James Wiseman leaves. What does Draymond do? He gets a season high in points, right?
Yeah.
Draymond and Steph have been waiting for this all year. They've been having to be the adults in the room. They've been assistant coaches. They've been bringing along young players. Now it's like, yo, we don't have to do that. Go small, ride it out, see what you get. It's 18 games. Steph ain't played since like 2016, right? Like, he's good. He's good. Draymond, you know, he can run. He can play up tempo. I say go for it. You got 18 games. Play all out. Go small and see what you can get. And the truth is, if the Warriors make the playoffs, they'll be a scary team to face. They probably won't win a series, but they'll scare the hell out of somebody just because, you know, Steph is Steph. And, oh, you know, it'll be tough. Like, Steph with nothing to lose is a scary proposition, right? So I say they ain't got nothing to lose right now.
Marcus, just ride he's got it out. Plenty to lose. I don't know if you know, but his legacy is on the line.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, my bad. That's right. Yeah. All the more why he's got to get in. He's got to get in. He's got to get that 17, baby. Save his legacy.
I want a heel turn from Chris Mullin, and instead of giving an emotional speech about all Steph means, instead castigating him on a Zoom call for coming up short in a playoff game. That would be amazing. And that thick Brooklyn accent. I don't actually want to see it, but it's a funny thing to imagine. There's no discussion of tanking. I think the Warriors do want to win. And I think that's down the line of the organization. What's a little interesting now is that the injuries, I don't know if they necessarily help them, but they might be taking minutes from players who were undermining aspects of them. It hurts them with their depth, but I don't think Wiseman was really contributing to wins. They need to somehow solve their issue with bigs, but he's a young guy. He's a rookie. He's making mistakes. So I don't think that, again, he was what was keeping them afloat in this whole play-in contest. Oubre also, I think, being out, they've looked pretty good without him, which is interesting and something that Marcus and I have argued about. So I wouldn't be surprised if they start playing a little better, at least in the short term. It would not shock me.
So
they beat Houston and Ethan's acting like, Oh, no, let's go. They beat Denver.
The Rockets, who have made the playoffs for 8 straight years, Marcus, going into this season?
It's one game. They beat
Tillman Fertitta's Rockets. They beat the Nuggets, the mighty Nuggets. And, you know, that was before, for pretty much the entirety of the game, what befell Mr. Murray. They're winning that game. So I think that right there, small sample size, but not entirely coincidental.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So then, let's say they did decide to tank. What disastrous form of a PR hit would that give this Warriors organization? Like, would people be
PR hit? It's going to piss off their star player. Yeah.
The PR hit would be Steph saying, "That's the last straw. I'm openly demanding a trade." That would be the PR hit. That would be the disaster.
He wouldn't do that, I don't think, but he definitely communicate his unhappiness. And you know how the Bay is. Like, once Steph is unhappy, they're going to go crazy, right? They're already mad he doesn't play 40 minutes and take 50 shots. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think you got to do it for Steph. I think he hasn't played meaningful basketball since June 2019. And the dude is like, he wants to play. He's out here trying to drop 50 on Campazzo because he needs something to do with his life. Like, you just got to play for Steph. Like, you got to do it for him. If you sit him down, this is another wasted year. At least let him get out there and get buckets.
I really love that Campazzo, his name is Facundo Campazzo, and all the Nuggets just call him Facu. And it makes it real dangerous when you're playing those quotes on NBA radio, which is owned and operated by the NBA and is a family friendly radio channel, even when it's myself and Amin Al-Hassan hosting. The fact that the Nuggets refer to him as Faku constantly is really fun.
Fun player in general. I think
he slip on purpose. That's all I'm saying. If you slip, it might be on purpose.
Yeah. It's a fun player in general.
You never know. He is a fun player.
You know what? Maybe the Jamal Murray injury opens up the Campazzo conquest. You know, that is upon us. Probably not.
Probably not. That probably has some historical implications as well to call something the Campazzo conquest. Who knows where that originated?
It sounds like something you learned about in the seventh grade.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, yeah. And then, you know, Argentina went through the Campazzo conquest in 1648, as we all remember.
And today we drink because of it.
And today we drink. It was a long shot. Speaking of long shots, take four. Lock or long shot with this Jamal Murray injury. We're going to look at our weekly NBA MVP race with BetMGM.com. It's still Nikola Jokic at the top at minus 160, followed by Joel Embiid at plus 225, Dame Lillard at plus 1,000, and LeBron James at plus 1,200. Ethan, I'm giving you 1,000 Usher bucks to bet. Mm-hmm. Who are you betting on?
It's got to be the Joker, man. I mean, at this point, he's just outlasted us all. And if he can string a few wins together with Murray out, which I think he could, I haven't looked at their upcoming schedule. It just looks like it is his to lose in this season where we've just seen so much injury and destruction, destruction of narratives alongside that. So I'm rolling with the Joker.
Their upcoming schedule, Wednesday night, home against the Heat, at Houston, home against Memphis, at Portland, at Golden State, home against Houston, home against Memphis, home against New Orleans, home against Toronto.
He's taking it.
They got a good stretch coming up for them before they go on the road. Marcus, where are your Usher bucks going?
It's such good odds, right? You know, on Jokic. Plus 800, man. Are you serious right now? Like, How has he got better odds than Luka? Like, come on. There's no way. How is Luka plus 500?
No, Jokic is minus 160. Yeah, he's minus 160.
Oh, what am I looking at?
I don't know.
This is from January 27th. My bad. Where's the new one? I was about to be like, this is crazy.
This doesn't make sense. It's almost like I'm looking MGM at an old
when you said
website.
When you said plus 800, I thought, oh, yeah, I guess if you bet 1,000, you would get about $800 return on that. Yeah. So I thought that's the math you were doing.
Nah. So what was Luka?
I don't know what Luka is. I know Dame is plus 1,000. LeBron is plus 1,200. Luka's plus playing tournament.
I'm still putting right my money on Dame just because, you know, it's Dame. Jokic is going to win the MVP, right? Like, I do.
Right.
If they just hold, all they got to do is hold at this point.
Yeah.
That's all they got to do. If they stay 4 or 5, if they hold, like, that would be pretty impressive. And he's already been incredible. But, man, like, if Dame gets the 4, it's ball game. Get the 4. I'm putting my money on Dame. I'm always bet on the Oakland dude. And plus, you know what? I don't know if enough people appreciate Jokic. Let's see if those voters really know what we're doing. Let's check it out.
Portland is 3 games behind Denver. Portland also is playing horribly right now. So if Portland
terrible. As soon as
does
got
manage
back,
to like, rebound and get back up there. I do think if they pass Denver in the standings, I think Dame will edge out Jokic in the voting.
I just like the Oakland-based ballot. We've got Dame for MVP, Juan Toscano-Anderson for MIP. We'll bring back Brian Shaw, give him Coach of the Year. It's the Oakland ballot. I mean, it's fun to do long odds.
Let's put Gary Payton and Jason Kidd in the Hall of Fame again.
Oh, let's do it again.
You know,
I think that might be the way to do it. I think Dame had his shot. He had his chance. He had his underdog opportunity, but we're running out of time. It just looks like the Joker has sealed this one up.
Other one, Giannis plus 1,100.
I don't know with you, Zach. If Dame passes,
if Dame passes,
if Portland
Denver
finishes higher.
Yeah, Because his clutch stats are absurd this year.
It's ridiculous, yo. Yeah. He's got so many of these moments, right, that people just remember. And how good are we at this, really, when we start talking about evaluating it? Like, it's like, yo, that was cool, right? He got a cool moment. I remember that. That's my MVP, right? That's kind of what
You do seem to get like the, oh, I like that moment of the season. I'll go with that, right? It's all like he needs Paul George. One good
moment and ahead of Denver. He's got it.
Paul George finished third in MVP voting in OKC and was awful the second half of the season. Awful because he had shoulder injuries. But everyone, that first impression, like, man, that Paul George is playing.
Paul George is killing.
He's
got to
be the MVP conversation. Yeah, he's killing.
He
ended up third.
It's got to be Paul George. Yep.
Yeah. That's what happened.
This MVP thing. So,
Steph Curry.
Jokic is, he's like, his dominance is not for the casual. Like, you got to understand what's happening.
I'm thinking about that. I think that might just because that might be because he just doesn't have a public profile that we don't really associate anything with him other than the basketball court. But he's a fun player to watch. I think anybody sitting down and watching basketball, I don't think that he's somebody where you need the nuances explained. He's doing fun stuff.
You do.
Out there.
Like, people don't understand. Like, he'll, when he's backing you down and hits that turnaround 13 footer, I don't think people understand how difficult of a shot that is. He's literally jumping. Scraping the roof. Like, right. I think it's going, like, it's like, you know, this is it's incredible how
his touch is unreal.
Yeah.
He does not hit the rim with the defender hanging on him. Like, I don't think people understand how difficult that is. These shots he's making.
He seems like he's one of the most well coordinated guys in the league, and he's 7 feet tall. It's an unreal combination. So
why isn't he the most hyped dude? Like, he looks like, is it because he's big? Because he looks like he shouldn't be doing this. And Americans love the guy who doesn't look like he should be doing it, right?
Like, yeah, but they like it when he's American.
Yeah, they like it when he's American. That was the simple explanation.
This is Ethan's take, right?
It's true.
This is Ethan's take.
It's true. People like it.
Luka is kind of breaking the mold with that. For whatever reason, Luka is kind of breaking the mold with that.
Dirk had to say so many funny things before he was accepted. He had to...
No, Dirk had to win a title.
Yeah.
Dirk had to win a title before he was accepted. And I think unless Jokic wins a title, I don't think he'll be that universally accepted guy amongst casual fans.
All true.
I think that's a really hard hurdle for European players
to overcome.
And also
Denver. You know, if he played for the Knicks, it would be a little bit different than playing out there.
I mean, that city doesn't care about the Nuggets unless the Broncos have zero news. Right? Like, it's just Broncos, that is a Broncos town. Right. That's a Broncos city, first, second, and third.
Yeah, unless some Broncos players sit courtside and do something funny on the Jumbotron. That's when the...
You get Von Miller there throwing
they need John Elway to coach the Nuggets. Get him in a huddle with a clipboard.
Yeah, it's a football city.
Let's finish this out. Take five. Heading over to the Eastern Conference. We have a tie at the top of the standings between the Nets and the Sixers. Actually, we don't after Wednesday night because they're playing each other. Bucks, Hawks, Celtics, and Heat all bunched up in the middle, followed by the Hornets and the Knicks to round out the top eight. And then we've got some play-in tournament possibilities. The Nets, still the odds-on favorite to win the NBA title, but many are wondering if the Sixers or Bucks or Heat, I might add, can somehow pull through. Fellas, like to get that crystal ball out. Ethan. Who's going to win the Eastern Conference?
I like this. I like this question because it seems to me that defense is always underrated. And so it's getting put to the test. You've got Ben Simmons saying, and it is factually true that there's only one basketball, but that does seem to be a cope when people say that, when they say about a super talented team that there's only one basketball.
There's only one basketball with a team that can't score either, right? I don't understand this. The Magic only have one basketball. How's that working out for them?
Yeah, it's you know, it's similar to in football. The greatness of a tight end will make it easier for the great wide receiver to get open and vice versa. That's what Brooklyn has. So they're just one of the most offensively talented teams we've ever seen, and it's hard to bet against it, but that defense of Philly is just nasty. They're big. They've got the musk of playoffness. They've got a playoffy musk is what I would say about the Sixers. I think I'm going to have to side with talent and just Durant's ability to make shots when you absolutely need them out of rhythm. The ability of all those guys to get those points. But I do think that the Sixers' chances might be underrated because we just care so much more about offense.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Man, how do you not go with Brooklyn? Like, I don't even understand. They don't even, all they need is one of their guys. Like, it's ridiculous. They need one guy to play. Oh. Then it's a, but I don't even, you know, they haven't lost back-to-back games in like,
and all they do is
45
tinker.
Games.
All they do is tinker.
They haven't even started playing for real.
Yeah, like, Rob Mahoney wrote about it. The season is just a little laboratory for them of, oh, maybe we'll do this. And they don't maybe lose. We'll do that. Like,
it's crazy. They don't lose. They haven't. I don't know what you do with this. I keep waiting for their defense to cost them. I keep waiting for it to happen. It doesn't happen.
And nobody cares that Steve Nash is a first-time coach. Like, that doesn't come up at all anymore.
No.
Normally, it'd be like, oh, I don't know if Steve Nash can handle things in the playoffs when he comes to coaching. We don't talk about that at all.
No. No.
I just saw something where Kevin Durant has scored 70 points in his last 70 minutes. Like, what are you supposed to do with that?
I don't know
what you do with that. Kyrie Irving doesn't even have to play well.
And the question about Kyrie Irving, will he or won't he show up, is a literal question. That's a literal question. That's not a metaphorical question. He shows up. He doesn't look exactly like he's in shape to me, and he still just does whatever he wants out there.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And what he's not killing, like, it doesn't even matter. Like, it's right. James Harden killed. The crazy part is Philadelphia is playing such great basketball. Even when they lost Embiid, like, they're locked in, they're defensively on point, they execute. And here's Brooklyn, who's like kind of messing around, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost not even real. They're kind of, and they still are right there. So the question is, which team puts it together down the stretch? I don't even know if we've seen Brooklyn put it together. Right? I don't know if we've seen it.
I guess
if we see it, it's over. Right? If we see it, that's it. Because they're just messing around. If you get all three of them together, locked in, playing defense, if they do something about their center position, like, it's over. I don't even know what to do with this team.
I guess the theory of the case would be when you combine all the elements. Like, maybe they've been benefiting from certain guys being out because it keeps everybody well fed. Maybe when you get everybody together and it's not a team with an extreme spirit of core, you're
the gluttony gets them, huh? Right?
Yeah, yeah. And the lack of defense and how, no, we're going to attack Harden and Kyrie in pick and roll. And it's going to be a problem. And then they lose a tough game. And then there's bickering. And you can see.
I think that's a playoff series, though. I don't know if that's a regular season. Like,
it's not. It's not a regular season thing. Yeah.
I think you'll start to see that paid. The price for that, I think, will be in the postseason.
Yeah.
But right now, it's like, yo, we got Charlotte tonight. All right. Let me know when it's the fourth quarter and I'm going to get buckets. And then you got another team the next night. So. I know what you're saying, Ethan. I just feel
I was looking
who's
ahead
going
to, the playoffs
to make them
a little
pay
bit.
That price, yeah. Right? Like, who's going to make them pay that price right now?
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, I know.
Who?
I know who.
Who?
We got a little culture in South Beach, boys, that we have not been exploring enough. Let me just tell you, everyone keeps thinking I'm stupid on this. Well, how stupid was I last year when I said it was going to happen?
Nobody called
you
stupid about this.
You think they'll do it in a regular season, though?
Not true. Not true. This Jay King laughed at me.
No,
Dave DeFore laughed at me. Everybody laughed at me. Guess who laughed last? LeBron. But other than that, Jimmy Butler.
But for a while there.
For a while, it was Jimmy Butler laughing the most. And it was a glorious
time.
That's
a team, though. That's a team that you get them in the playoffs, they'll be able to exploit some of this stuff.
They got the best coach in the East. They got defense, switchable defense, but...
They got
not hitting shots this year like they did last year. That does worry me. And we haven't seen them healthy for an extended stretch at all either. And maybe that's not going to happen this year. But if I see
Brooklyn doing it, man.
Heating seven.
Too easy.
Maybe heating four. That's what I'll say. Heating four.
Wow.
Yeah. But only if they're healthy and everything breaks right. That's my little room to wiggle
there. Caveat right there.
Yeah. Wow. That's not bad, did the same head motion at the same time. That's not good for a podcast medium either. That's a video we have to put out. They did the same head tilt and nod at the same time, and that freaked me out just there. I don't know what that is. That felt like a glitch in the Matrix.
Synchronicity.
It was. Deja vu, baby. Deja vu.
It's
a glitch in the
Matrix. It's many days and evenings hold up working playoff series, having to operate like a team, like Brooklyn might have to, where Kawakami and Slater, Margus and myself in the media room in Houston going, you go this way, you go that way, you go that way, break. Like that's
we don't even have to talk anymore. Yeah, it's all like, you know, it's just insane.
Imagine if you'd been wearing a fucking beanie still when you did that. How good that would have looked. And that's going to do it for the Athletic NBA Show's Point of Contention here on the Athletic Podcast Network. Subscribe to the Athletic, get the best coverage, and keep it on the Athletic.
Break.